Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I am Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, your one-stop website for all the day's latest church apostasy and end-time news. Now, Trad Cat Night is featured all over the alternative media circuit, and I'm doing my best to keep you up to date on all the latest happenings from around the world as we head closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima. My good friends, please subscribe and click the notification button right here on YouTube. Now, in the event that my YouTube goes down, we see all the censorship now happening across the board on YouTube. I encourage you all to find Tradcat Night's podcast across the plethora of platforms that we do have now. These talks are featured on Veterans Today, Minds.com, PewTube, BitChute, Steemit, DTube. We're on iTunes and Google Play. We're also on Player.fm, and we're also on SoundCloud. .com. So find us there, subscribe, follow us. Podcasts are coming to you 7 days a week now, folks. The live call-in shows are Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. And if you'd like to see a certain special guest on Trad Cat Night, email the name, the website, and the contact information to apostleofmary@hotmail.com. Now, today is April 12th, 2018, and I have a first-time guest for you today, and wow, this is going to be a very explosive talk, if you will. As you know, here at Trad Cat Night, we've been exposing the New World Order global depopulation agenda. We've been exposing the culture of death, this culture of self-society that we are saturated in, and we have a great guest today, Dr. Curtis Duncan, who is a holistic health expert who has been researching health and nutrition for the past 12-plus years. He has a BS in marketing from Hampton University, MBA, marketing from Clark Atlanta University, and some of his talks can be readily found on YouTube, one of which is with the popular YouTube channel Red Ice. Thank you, Dr. Curtis, for stopping by today. My goodness, where do we begin with this topic of the feminization of men and masculinizing of females? Maybe you could give us a little backdrop to this discussion, if you will, a foundation to this talk, and we'll just rip through some of the subtopics within this overall topic that we're going to discuss today.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Eric, for having me on air. It's definitely an honor and a pleasure to be on your podcast. I know you're very, very popular, and it's definitely a pleasure to be on air and definitely continue to put out the word about the global depopulation agenda. To kind of give a brief background, on how I got involved in this particular topic, actually, maybe several years ago, it was back during my vegetarian days. I'm no longer vegan, but back during my vegetarian days, I read this book called The Whole Soy Story. Mm. The name of the book is called The Whole Soy Story, and it talked about, I believe it's written by Dr. Daniels. But the book is, you know, it's a really excellent book for people out there if you want to learn more about the popular death food parading around as a health food known as soy. But essentially, it talked about how soy, you know, how it essentially is a population-controlled food. You know, when animals would consume soy, it would actually make the animals infertile, and it would lower the sperm counts of the male animals that consumed it. And as I was reading through the book, it talked about how soy estrogens would cause male monkeys to actually behave like female monkeys and to assume certain feminine mating positions. So I was like, you know, because I've heard before about how different hormones in our food are causing homosexuality, mm-hmm. And, you know, feminizing men. So, you know, I've heard that before, but I never really had like any kind of solid information and data on it. But when I read that passage, that kind of it created a spark, if you will. And, you know, I just started, you know, digging more and more into this particular topic. And what I discovered is that, yes, there are a class of chemicals. The chemicals scientifically are known as endocrine disrupting chemicals. And they are chemicals which are derived from petroleum, from oil, and from gas. And of course, the people who, you know, the people who invented the whole petroleum monopoly are the Rockefellers. And they're also the people who finance the whole population control eugenics movement in this country. So these chemicals, they've been around for the past 100 years since the age of oil. The chemicals are, you know, since the early 1900s, there have been close to about 100,000 of these different types of chemicals that have just been dumped into the market. Of course, they've never been tested. They've never been evaluated. They just put them out there. And essentially we're all being used as guinea pigs now under this massive chemical poisoning and experiment. But they put the chemicals out there, and and what's been happening in the past 100 years is not only have you seen a dramatic increase in male infertility, sperm counts now have been cut close to half, and it's estimated within the next 20 years that men, at least men in the Western countries, in Australia, Britain, America, they're going to be totally infertile. They will not be able to reproduce at all. So you've seen that. You've seen a dramatic increase in male genital birth defects, such as undescended testicles, hypospadia. Mm. And essentially, when you have hypospadia, your penis, you have like a micropenis, and your penis becomes no longer than 2 inches. So essentially, you become functionally infertile because you with a 2-inch long penis, you are totally sterilized. We've seen a dramatic increase in that. We've also seen a dramatic decrease in male births. So so that's one of the things that these chemicals are doing as far as infertility. But not only that, we are seeing a lot of people displaying homosexual behavior. And again, I'm not here to critique anyone's sexual orientation but the reason this is important is because this is about population control. These chemicals, that's why I tell people, like, it's not just about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. The chemicals also sterilize men and they sterilize women. And they cause multi-generational infertility, meaning that, let's say, you, Eric, you were exposed to bisphenol A, which is a common chemical found in canned foods. It's found in beer, which is heavily promoted towards men. It's found in plastics. All plastics, right. All plastics contain some of these hormone-mimicking chemicals.
Yes.
Let's say you were exposed to this chemical within the womb. It's getting no fault of your own, but you're exposed to it within the womb, as most people are. And essentially what it does is it actually changes the expression of your genes via a process known as epigenetics. So essentially what that means is that you will eventually probably develop prostate cancer as a result of being exposed to this chemical. Your son will develop prostate cancer as a result of being exposed to this chemical. Your great-grandson will develop prostate cancer and infertility as a result of being exposed to this chemical. And your great-great-great-grandson will have infertility, anxiety, ADHD, et cetera, as a result of the one exposure that occurred when you were developing within your womb. So the chemicals have multi-generational effects. So essentially, what we're dealing with here is just a complete chemical sterilization and emasculation of men. Of course, the chemicals also affect women. They cause breast cancer, early puberty, fibroids, endometriosis, but they really, really, really target men in particular, and that's why so many men have problems getting erections. So many men these days are developing breasts. You have male breast reduction surgeries, which are, quite popular and common. You have man's ears. You have all these different things, essentially, which are indications of the chemical feminization of men. And essentially this is all about eugenics. Like I said, these chemicals are everywhere. I mean, there's really no way to avoid them because the earth essentially is just like one big massive balloon. So if you have pollution in China, you're going to have pollution in America because, the earth is just one big round kind of cylinder or circle. So whatever you put in one area is eventually going to end up in another area. So, throughout the whole animal kingdom, you are seeing a dramatic decrease in all the male species. You are seeing frogs, which are developing female sex organs. You're seeing fish, which are developing female sex organs. And essentially, it is a vast conspiracy. And some of the companies that manufacture these chemicals, and I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with them, are Monsanto.
Right.
Of course, they make the GMOs. And Roundup is one of the major endocrine disrupting chemicals that people are being exposed to because it's found in all of our drinking water now. Another chemical manufacturer is Bayer, the pharmaceutical company. And you might think, well, why are pharmaceutical companies making these toxic chemicals? Well, because Big Pharma is in the business of producing customers. So, of course, if I can make a toxic chemical which causes ADHD, diabetes, breast cancer, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, all these different health problems, that's going to create more demand for aspirin and for chemotherapy. So essentially, they create the problem, and then they sell you a phony solution, which only exacerbates and perpetuates the problem. So well, Bayer, so Bayer is another large chemical manufacturer. BASF, which they used to be a derivative or a spinoff of IG Farben. IG Farben was the mega corporation which basically brought Hitler to power back during Nazi Germany. Of course, Bayer is another spinoff of IG Farben, another Nazi corporation. Another major chemical manufacturer is Syngenta. Now, Syngenta manufactures a chemical known as atrazine. And atrazine, a lot of people are familiar with atrazine because, it's been well documented now by the scientist Dr. Tyrone Hayes of how this chemical causes homosexual behavior in male frogs. And this is, like I said, this is not me talking. This is a scientist at the University of California, Berkeley. And he was actually paid by Syngenta to, do research into this chemical. And, while he was on their payroll, he discovered that it had some pretty bad effects. So, of course, they took him off their payroll. And ever since then, they have been attacking him and attempting to discredit him. But atrazine is also widely used in American agriculture. It's widely used on golf courses. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why, Donald Trump has passed a lot of executive orders exempting himself and his golf courses from water pollution, because essentially, this chemical is being sprayed all over, his golf courses, and is eventually ending up into the water supply. Mm-hmm. So, so it's widely used on corn. Of course, corn is, if you've seen the documentary called King Corn, essentially all of our DNA now is comprised of corn. Our entire food supply is corn, essentially.
Cereal too, right?
Beef to high protein. Yeah, corn flakes, high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. Which is the number one source of calories in this country via soda. Basically we are literally corny in this country. We are just corny as hell, if you will.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I was about to say, Doctor, there's no doubt about it. The New World Order wants us dumb. They want us obese. They want us infertile. They want us to be zombies, from my perspective, in order to get us prepped to submit to this new false messiah that I believe is about to show up onto the scene. The LGBT sodomite agenda is on the table. There's no doubt about it. And today I'm talking with Dr. Curtis Duncan. You can get to his website, drcurtisduncan.com. I'll put it in the description box for you. We're talking a little bit about GMO foods right now, but ultimately we're talking about being GMO guinea pigs, GMO humans. What, if any, in your research indicates that chemtrails may have certain similar hidden chemicals in it that are disrupting our endocrine system as well? I know we can initially jump into the hidden chemicals in condoms, the pills. And we could break that down a little bit more. But is there anything in chemtrail so far in your research, or maybe you haven't touched upon that area yet?
Well, chemtrails, I really haven't. I mean, essentially, chemtrails, they are made with aluminum and barium, and which are extremely toxic heavy metals. Now, aluminum, does have endocrine disrupting effects as well, too. That's why they always say that, women should avoid using aluminum deodorants, under the underarms, because, essentially when you're using a lot of these aluminum antiperspirants, you're actually putting that right near your lymph nodes, which is right near your breast tissue. So that's the fact that so many women are using these aluminum deodorants and antiperspirants is definitely causing a dramatic increase in breast cancer, because aluminum in the body, just like many heavy metals, does have an endocrine disrupting effect, and that aluminum actually behaves as an estrogen, and it triggers the estrogen receptors. So in terms of, it's going to cause the same effects as far as when a developing male fetus is developed within a womb, then his testosterone is going to be blocked or suppressed by all these different heavy metals such as mercury. That's why they recommend that you get your mercury flu shots. When they give mercury flu shots to pregnant women, it's all about eugenics. It's about, number one, causing that fetus to be miscarried, because the flu shots cause a spontaneous abortions. But not only that, it's been shown that mercury causes homosexuality. And this has been shown through research done in the Everglades looking at bird species. When they expose them to mercury, some of the birds start displaying homosexual behavior. So essentially, yeah, it contains aluminum barium, and aluminum mimics estrogen, and it blocks testosterone. So again, you know, for a developing male fetus, without testosterone, you know, essentially all human beings are born as women. They're born as females. And it is through the action of testosterone that the male baby undergoes a full masculinization, you know, meaning that his ovaries become testes, his clitoris becomes a penis, you know, and essentially, and, you know, and also the ovaries descend. But without, if that testosterone is blocked, or the testosterone signaling is blocked through all these different chemicals and heavy metals, et cetera, then he will essentially be, he will be biologically a man, but will have the brain of a woman. Wow. So, you know, in many cases he could, you know, identify as transgendered, or, you know, or he just could essentially be gay. I mean, I do subscribe to the notion that people are born gay, you know, but, you know, it also has been shown that that process can be chemically altered. And it is being chemically altered by all these different hormone mimicking chemicals that people are deliberately being exposed to for purposes of population control. Because essentially, once a person becomes gay, they're not going to have any kids, or they're, you know, or they're not going to be attracted to the same sex, I'm sorry, to the opposite sex, for them to have kids. So that's the reason, along with the fact that the chemicals literally sterilize you for, you know, until infinity. That's the reason for the existence of these chemicals. They were, you know, solely designed for population control purposes.
Wow. Yeah. Now, to speak a little bit more about contraceptives in general, obviously, you know, from a Christian standpoint, we are against that on the surface level. We know how harmful that is to society. But I honestly, I didn't realize that there were hidden chemicals found in these contraceptives that were sterilizing men and women. Maybe you could speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so to provide some context, the birth control pill was a product of Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood. And she also received a lot of money from the Rockefeller Foundation. And if you read the book, The War Against the Weak, by, I can't think of the author, Edwin Black, The War Against the Weak by Edwin Black, it talks about the American eugenics movement. And essentially, you know, people like to, you know, oh, the Nazis, well, you know, the Americans, you know, financed the Nazis, and the American eugenics movement was exported to Nazi Germany. So essentially all the Nazis' ideas about eugenics and sterilizing people, and I mean, this came from America. This was, you know, exported by America to Nazi Germany. So the financiers of this American eugenics movement were the Rockefellers, the Harrimans, all the major robber barons of the early 1900s. They were behind this eugenics movement. So the reason why the birth control pill was invented was for population control. And of course, you know, it was definitely designed to sterilize, you know, non-white peoples. But it, you know, it was designed to really reduce the population of everyone, particularly non-white peoples. But the reason why, so essentially Margaret Sanger, you know, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood, which again, you know, is also about population control as well too. She was the early inventor of the birth control pill. And how it was invented, they actually used poor Puerto Rican women in the early 1960s as guinea pigs for birth control, because Puerto Rico, United States, back in the early 1920s, had sought to essentially just to, you know, to essentially have genocide. They wanted to have population control throughout the entire island of Puerto Rico. So they used them as guinea pigs to kind of kill them off through the birth control pill. And several of the women died during these birth control trials. But essentially, the birth control pill contains estrogen, and it's been shown through research that whenever a woman, you know, essentially ingests these combined birth control pills, she excretes about 80% of the estrogen that's found within it through her urine, and, you know, so she pees it out, which ends up in our public drinking water. And, you know, and beyond some of the chemicals and some of the soy estrogens that are found in our drinking water and some of these other hormone-mimicking chemicals, the estrogen that is found within these oral contraceptives is actually estrogen. So it's the strongest type of estrogen that is out there. And what has been shown is that, you know, for example, in the Potomac River, all the male fish in the Potomac River are intersex fish. They have male and sexual reproductive organs. So it's been shown that the birth control pill is causing, male fish to become set to become female. And it's doing the same things to humans because, you know, our water is not being, is not being filtered at all. Of course, we know it contains fluoride and chlorine, which are all, chemical weapons, but also contains all these different hormone mimicking chemicals, and it's not being filtered out. Essentially all of our drinking, since there's close to about 30 million women now in this country that are getting these contraceptives, and oftentimes they're getting them for free through Obamacare, you literally just have a massive amount of estrogenic pollution of our water supply. And not only is it causing an entire male species to collapse, entire animal species to go extinct because, the males can no longer reproduce. It's also causing fibroids. It's been shown to cause an increase in prostate cancer in men. It's causing endometriosis. And it is causing infertility. And it is affecting, essentially, it is causing men to undergo involuntary sex change, oftentimes, as I mentioned, within the womb. That's not widely known, but yes, these contraceptives generate a lot of estrogen pollution, which all ends up in our drinking water, and we all end up consuming it because it's not being filtered out by the government.
Now, what about the vaccine agenda? I've had some of the top anti-vaccine experts on the show, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny up in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Dr. Humphreys. Obviously, mm-hmm. we see Bill Gates talking about how we're overpopulated, and he obviously, we know what he's been doing down specifically in Africa and other nations, trying to, push forth this agenda, to put it mildly. I can only assume that there are endocrine disruptors as well in vaccines, all these harmful chemicals, causing autism and paralysis, even death in some instances. Mm-hmm. Do you see a day where there'll be forced vaccines? I mean, we kind of see it on a certain level. We see various states kind of pushing forth laws, making it very, very difficult for people to get out of the system, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What do you think in this area in terms of the vaccine agenda?
So, yeah, I'm actually, funny you mentioned that, because that's something I'm really well known for. I've done a lot of vaccine activism now for the past almost 3 years. So I'm widely considered to be a vaccine expert. I actually recently published an article in a local health food store talking about the whole flu hoax and sure. The flu vaccines causing flu outbreaks. And of course, you might be familiar with the scientists, with the CDC, who was allegedly might have been a vaccine whistleblower. That's kind of disputed. That's kind of debatable.
Sure.
Vaccines definitely do contain endocrine disrupting chemicals. They contain formaldehyde. They contain which causes cancer. They contain MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is found in all of our processed, toxic death foods, fast foods, which are causing us to be obese and dumbing us down. I know Dr. Russell Blaylock talked about the dumbing down of the country with MSG and aspartame. So it contains MSG, which also causes autism. It contains mercury, which causes homosexuality, which again is an endocrine disrupting chemical as well too. Again, causes cancer, breast cancer. It contains aluminum. And that's the thing, that people oftentimes get so caught up in the vaccine ingredients without understanding the whole vaccine paradigm. The vaccine paradigm was invented to create public disease, not public health. So it doesn't really matter whether they take out mercury or they take out aluminum or they take out this, all the vaccines are always going to be toxic because they were designed to produce more customers. They were never designed to actually produce public health. So that's why you see all these different flu outbreaks and measles outbreaks and whooping cough outbreaks, even though we have all these vaccines, even though kids are getting 69 doses of vaccines by the age 18. If people have all these different vaccines, but people are still getting sick, then that doesn't make sense. That means either the vaccines are ineffective or they're actually designed to make people sick. That's what the vaccines have always been about. The book Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins talks about that. Vaccines were a creation of the Rockefeller Foundation, which again owns the whole medical monopoly and mafia that we have in this country.
Shocker, right?
The vaccines, they are designed to kill off people. They're designed to sterilize people. That's why, you have the whole HPV vaccine, which is a genetically modified vaccine, which is sterilizing girls all throughout the country, causing them to go into early menopause. You know, and but the vaccines these days, they contain a little less aluminum, but they still have, you know, high amounts of aluminum, almost close to about 250,000 times the amount that the EPA considers to be toxic is found within the whole mercury shot, that's which they're pushing hard. You know, particularly this in this most recent flu epidemic hoax. You know, they're pushing that really hard, but it contains extremely high amounts of mercury. But a lot of vaccines now, they don't contain as much mercury, but they contain more aluminum. So we're getting aluminum from the chemtrails, and we're getting high amounts of aluminum, you know, from the vaccines, which, again, this is injectable aluminum. So this is far worse than chemtrails.
Wow.
This is something that you're directly injecting into the bloodstream. You know, it's one thing where you're consuming an aluminum can, or you're using aluminum tinfoil, which is, you know, that's bad, of course, you know, along with aluminum chemtrails. But when you're actually injecting aluminum directly into the bloodstream, your body can't get rid of it through your, you know, through your digestive system or through your eliminative organs. So yeah, they are totally killing people with this high amount of aluminum. And yes, I mean, it definitely is, you know, definitely is affecting people's sexual orientation, as I mentioned, particularly with the mercury, because I mean that is why that's been scientifically shown to cause homosexuality amongst birds, and it does the exact same thing to humans through the same systems of blocking testosterone, which essentially causes, you know, it prevents the male fetus from undergoing a full masculinization. And estrogen in women, essentially, you know, women are exposed to these chemical estrogens. It actually, because estrogen converts into testosterone, which causes the masculinization process. But when you're essentially exposed to synthetic estrogens, that has a masculinizing effect upon the developing female brain as well, too. So it causes homosexuality and bisexuality amongst women. And again, this has been shown through a chemical estrogen that was released known as DES. You can look it up. It's called DES. You can look up DES babies. And you can look up how those babies oftentimes are homosexual or bisexual, and oftentimes have gender, you know, what they call gender identity issues. And DES was a chemical estrogen that was released in the early 1940s by Eli Lilly. And it was designed to prevent miscarriages amongst women. Of course, it did not do that. It was ineffective for that. But what it did do is that it caused multi-generational birth defects. It caused multi-generational breast cancer. And caused a lot of different health problems, particularly amongst, you know, vaginal cancer, particularly amongst women.
No more Chinese food. No more MSG, folks. I'm with Dr. Curtis Duncan from CurtisDuncan.com. Now, you also point out in your talks and in your writings how these endocrine disruptors cause women to be more attracted to the metrosexual type. So no longer are they attracted to the Hercules and the Conan, the Barbarian. We got to shift over to the Liberaces and the Richard Simmons of the world. And then, of course, we got to factor in feminism, right? We see these crazy groups like Femin out there protesting topless and trying to cause all types of disruption out there in Europe. Then we got the Me Too movement. Ultimately, in my research, I've deduced it to coming from, you know, the Marxists and the communists. But talk about these two areas, if you will, the shift into the metrosexual world, this attraction due to these endocrine disruptors, and also just the feminist movement.
Mm-hmm. So, in regards to the birth control pill, yes, there was a study that showed several years ago how essentially the birth control pill, it affects women's mating decisions. It affects women's mating decisions. So essentially, women oftentimes will be attracted to Mr. Wrong. They'll be attracted to a man that actually is genetically similar to them, which again could cause problems like with fertility and with having a healthy baby. So it totally, you know, affects women's preferences in who they eventually mate with or who they establish relationships with. So, you know, it has that effect, but also it changes, you know, whether women are find men who have more masculine features or more feminine features. And what this research showed was that, you know, women, once they're on the birth control pill, like if they got into a relationship, you know, while they're on the birth control pill and they get off it, then oftentimes they find the guy that they're with just totally, like, disgusting. Like, you know, how did I end up with this guy? You know, where did he come from? But not only that, you know, they become more attracted to men with more feminine features. It was a really, really fascinating study. which showed this. Essentially, they're no longer attracted to men, you know, with the facial hair and the kind of the more masculine looking facial features, mm-hmm. As far as, you know, bone structure and whatnot. So yes, the birth control pill is causing a lot of women, you know, it was supposed to liberate them as far as their sexuality, but it actually causes women to have less orgasms. Not only, like I said, you already know, and they end up being with men that they no longer find attractive. And in regards to the whole feminist movement, Margaret Sanger was actually a feminist. She was in the feminist movement was, you know, definitely heavily involved.
I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm talking with Dr. Curtis Duncan, and we are speaking further on the feminist movement. He was speaking about Margaret Sanger. We had a little disconnection there. I'll hand it back over to you, Curtis, and we'll pick back up.
Yeah, so essentially, a lot of people who were heavily involved with the eugenics movement were considered to be progressives. They were considered to be feminists and, you know, people who were quote-unquote part of the progressive movement. And these progressives were heavily involved in population control. And one of those people, was Margaret Sanger. She was actually a feminist. You know, she considered herself to be a feminist. And as I mentioned earlier in the interview, she was one of the inventors of the birth control pill, which, right now kills about 4,000 women, roughly every single year just through blood clots. So, you know, how can something that's supposed to liberate women, you know, be killing them? So essentially, some of these early feminists were heavily involved in the eugenics movement, and they were receiving funding from the Rockefeller Foundation, such as Margaret Sanger. And that's why Margaret Sanger openly advocated for birth control being used for purposes of racial hygiene. That may sound like kind of like a confusing word, but essentially, you know, what she meant was the sterilization of black and brown women in particular. She wanted their sterilization. So that's why they originally used poor Puerto Rican women as guinea pigs to test birth control. And why birth control is still heavily targeted towards black and brown women in this country, particularly things like Depo-Provera. So essentially, the feminist movement has always been heavily involved in eugenics. And even up until this day, you have Planned Parenthood. They're still the largest distributor of Depo-Provera. They're also the largest distributor of these HPV vaccines, which, again, are sterilizing women. You know, they are literally, they're literally stripping away women's, these birth control pills and vaccines, which Planned Parenthood, you know, are big distributors of, they are literally stripping women's right to choose. You know, you always hear about the right to choose, but these vaccines and birth control pills are taking that right away. So women no longer have the right to choose because of all these different chemicals and birth control pill and HPV vaccines. So essentially, a lot of these different feminists were, and still are, heavily involved in the whole population control movement. They, big supporters of Bill Gates, and they still receive funding from these different eugenics foundations, such as the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. Like I said, Margaret Sanger was she was an early example of that in the 1920s, but, it continues up until now. There's very little discussion of, the massive sterilization of women that takes place in this country every single day. Very little discussion about that, but, because that's considered to be good.
I got a curveball I want to throw at you, Dr. Curtis.
Yeah.
You ever seen those Frank Thomas commercials where they're kind of pushing this like generic HGH, or they're kind of like a ripoff to HGH? I often wonder if that was kind of a ploy by the New World Order, like who's actually funding that particular product. I mean, does it really work, for men who have low testosterone and who are over 40? I often wondered, what the whole deal is with that. I mean, I'm highly suspicious of anything coming from the mainstream. I don't know if you have a comment on that. I was just kind of thinking that and wanted to throw that out there to you.
Yeah. So the HGA, you said HGH?
HGH. Yeah.
Yeah. I do know like a lot of these synthetic, of course, hormones, like, synthetic testosterone can increase your risk of heart attacks and heart disease. HGH, that's something that is naturally found and naturally produced within the body. And that could, I mean, and you could produce that naturally just through intermittent fasting. It increases the amounts of HGH that are released, and also through just high intensity working out essentially.
Okay.
You know, it's like a specific type of working out. It's like high intensity and intermittent training, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That increases. I mean, essentially HGH is like it's an anti-aging hormone. But you know, when you're taking synthetic hormones, because again, the birth control pill is a synthetic hormone, and look at all the harm that's doing. So, you know, men and women want to avoid all these synthetic hormones that are out there.
Now, we talked a little bit about why men today are lazy, fat, impotent, we're zombie-like, we're infertile. Is there any direct connection between these endocrine disruptors, if you will, and men seemingly being less interested in having sex with real women and seeking out porn instead? And I'll also throw in there, kind of, I do a Signs of the Times piece, if you will, for my website, Dr. Curtis, and I'm always posting these articles now. How, I don't know if you've seen the surge in the sex robots. I mean, guys, they want sex robots now. So what in the world is going on out there?
Yeah. So yes, I mean, there is a really good book which talks about that exact thing by Dr. Leonard Sachs. It's called Boys Adrift, and it talks about how essentially, you know, these endocrine disrupting chemicals, they essentially destroy the part of the brain which governs male motivation. So essentially it makes men, you know, and what they did was they tested this by exposing male mice to bisphenol A within the womb. And the male mice literally, like, you know, usually mice, you know, they like to, you know, when they put them in cages, they like to kind of scurry around and try to find the cheese. Well, the mice that were exposed to bisphenol A no longer wanted to find the cheese anymore. They just wanted to kind of just sit back and, you know, they were highly anxious. They were highly anxious mice, and they literally just sat in a corner and just kind of just sat there and did nothing.
Right.
Which again is indicative of the modern generation of boys, which, you know, sit at home and watch porn and play video games all day.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, and are, you know, taking selfies on social media. So yes, the chemicals definitely make men a lot less motivated. The book, I think Boys Adrift talks about how a lot of these psychiatric drugs do the same thing. Particularly Ritalin, which is heavily given to boys today. But again, you know, ADHD is caused by the chemicals and by the vaccines. So, you know, you're essentially creating a situation where, yes, you know, you have an entire generation of unmotivated men now, who then get their brains destroyed even more by the vaccines and by the psychiatric drugs. So it's literally just a chemical onslaught. It's a chemical war that is going on, that is taking place upon humanity. But that is causing, you know, essentially men to, you know, and of course, you know, motivation governs sexuality as well too. So if you're not motivated just in life, you're not going to be motivated to actually interact with real women.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, as a result of being exposed to these chemicals, a lot of men have a lot of social anxiety, meaning that they won't even say nothing to a woman. They'll just still be totally scared.
Right.
And of course, you know, porn, when you watch a lot of porn, it exacerbates that. It makes the social anxiety even worse.
Mm.
And it makes you impotent. And it desensitizes you to the degree where you're no longer attracted to a real woman, but you no longer even, like, you know, you can no longer even ejaculate or get aroused with a real woman. I mean, there are millions of men today that, you know, they can't have sex unless a porn movie is on, or they have problems with delayed ejaculation. They can't even ejaculate anymore.
Yeah, the porn pandemic, the porn plague certainly is a disaster upon society. My next question for you, we've got a couple more questions and we'll let you go here. What's it been like? Have you received any backlash as a result of your research and your publications? I would only assume that mainstream science has probably come out and said, in certain areas, at least with your work, you know, stay away from this wacko, this nut job, like they'll say about Dr. Sherry, if you will, on vaccines or this. And, you know, we're kind of like the fake news, if you will, in the health world, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I haven't gotten, I expected when I first came out with this information, I was going to get a lot of backlash from, you know, particularly from the LGBT community and from a lot of liberals that are out there. But, you know, I mean, the science speaks for itself. I mean, because I'm not just making, I mean, you know, if I say chemicals are causing homosexual behavior in frogs, I mean, that's not me. That's coming from a scientist from the University of California, Berkeley. I mean, you want to talk about a, you know, a liberal institution, you know, that's right. That's coming from, I mean, that's a scientist. I mean, so if his research is fraudulent, I'm sure they would have fired him by now. But I mean, I haven't really gotten a lot of backlash. I've actually been on different, you know, I have a friend of mine, you know, she's actually bisexual, you know, she's a friend and she's like, hey, you know, I think there's a lot of credibility to what you're saying as far as some of these different chemicals. You know, it might have affected me. I mean, but I haven't gotten a lot of backlash, because I mean, I've tried to not get into the whole moral argument and, you know, but I've tried to stick with the science and, you know, at the end of the day, I really don't care about someone's sexual orientation or their, you know, whatever, but, you know, hey, I mean, you know, that should come from someone's own personal choice, not because they're drinking contaminated drinking water. I mean, so I think we can all kind of agree to that, you know, people's sexuality should not be determined by chemicals that are deliberately being put into our environment for purposes of eugenics and population control, because that's what this is about. You know, it's not about sexual orientation. This is about eugenics. This is about sterilizing people. It's about dumbing them down. And it's about population control. So now I haven't got a lot of, but of course I haven't been featured on CNN. I haven't been featured on, you know, I haven't been featured on some of those more progressive news outlets.
Right.
But you know, there's really nothing that they can do to dispute it, because, you know, I mean, it's well known that endocrine disruptors have these effects upon sexuality, and this is shown in animal species, and human beings are animals as well too. And we're also aquatic animals, meaning that we're actually born in water. So if it causes homosexual behavior in frogs, which are aquatic animals, then, you know, of course it's going to cause the same things in humans, which literally live for 9 months within a sac of water or embryonic fluid. It's going to do the same thing.
Hmm. Well said. Yeah, I'm not expecting to be picked up by CNN anytime soon as well. So my final question for you today, sir, is this. How do we fight in a general sense? I'm about to be sarcastic here. You know, do we head out for the day in a hazmat suit? Do we just avoid the grocery stores? Yeah. Do we become the next bubble boy? I mean, what do we do? How do we fight outside of educating? I mean, it seems like it's everywhere, this culture. Mm-hmm. Like food, water, air, anything mm-hmm. we touch, anything we see, it seems to just be a world of death. So what can we honestly do at this point?
Yeah, well, the best thing you can do, you know, avoid all plastics. Avoid plastics, definitely. Avoid canned foods. You know, avoid, you know, try to eat as much naturally grown or quote unquote organic foods as possible. You know, avoid a lot of, you know, because a lot of these different chemicals are found within pesticides. So you definitely want to avoid, you know, a lot of foods which contain a lot of different pesticides. Definitely avoid genetically modified foods, which, as I mentioned, they contain Roundup, which is a very, very powerful endocrine disruptor. Avoid soy. You know, I know that's, you know, that's very popular now, particularly with the whole new age vegan movement,
right?
Which is a total scam. That's another radio show. But yeah, you know, avoid all those different plastics. Avoid canned foods. Avoid paper receipts, which contain bisphenol A. Avoid a lot of pesticides. You know, I mean, look on the back of the label of anything you put on your body. So, for example, you know, a lot of these different conditioners and shampoos and a lot of different cleaning products contain fragrance, which contains phthalates, which is another really powerful endocrine disrupting chemical, which is shrinking men's penises. So you want to avoid any type of items which have synthetic fragrances in them. You know, just use a lot of natural things, you know. So, I mean, if you can't pronounce it, don't put it on your body, don't use it, don't spray it in your house, you know, avoid lawn care, you know, because like I said, they put atrazine in all of your weed control products. Probably want to avoid going to a golf course anytime soon.
Right.
You know, avoid all those different pest control products. And just pretty much anything that's widely promoted as far as food, drugs, vaccines, avoid it.
Yeah.
Just avoid it.
Just don't breathe at all.
Well, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Get out into the Ohio Valley. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Get into some mountains and breathe some fresh air.
Oh, you know? Buddy.
Hey, you know, Ohio Valley has DuPont. You know, and people in Ohio Valley need to shut down that DuPont factory.
Oh, goodness. We've got steel mills pumping out poisons. We've got Bayer that's over there in Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah. We're surrounded by all types of contaminants. My dad actually works as a safety manager. My goodness, you know, exposing the EPA and all just the contaminants that, you know, are involved on a daily level within the realm of businesses, but also just here in society. And it's big business for them. So they're not going to stop pumping out these contaminants from the steel mills because it makes the money, ultimately. So there you have it, folks. We've got another great talk finished up for the day. Dr. Curtis Duncan from drcurtisduncan.com. We'll bring him back on in the future, and we'll discuss more of this culture of death society that we live in, what we can do about it. And folks, thank you for tuning in to Tradcat Night Radio today. Check into tradcatnight.blogspot.com daily. We're updated daily. If you can in this information war, click the PayPal button. Get behind me in this information war. I've got another great special guest coming on tomorrow, so tune in tomorrow to find out who it will be. And again, the live call-in shows have already started. We'll pick back up April 14th and 15th, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.